Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
I think I'd like the second tie for Green Bay, because then Detroit has a tie, right. And maybe Detroit can never catch you and wins. You know what I mean?
Okay.
If Detroit has the tiebreaker against you, but they have a tie instead of a win on their record, then you don't need the tiebreaker. Then you beat them. Yeah, so I do want the tie.
What?
I mean, as long as you end up with a better record, yeah.
Yeah.
If you end up with a worse record, then it's not as advantageous.
Right, but I think I do want the tie.
Okay.
So let's all root for the tie?
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, who are you rooting for, the Lions or the Packers?
I mean, is it even a question? Give me the Lions on Thanksgiving.
I got three words for you. You like that?
Yesterday, you came in to the studio, Speaks, and you tried to justify, like, maybe you want the Packers to win, because if the Bears win, then you have two games up on the Lions, and I just see Baby T's eyes glazing over. I do not know anybody that hates the Green Bay Packers quite like this person right here. So you trying to, like, convince him, oh, yeah, maybe it's good for the Packers to win on Thanksgiving Day.
I was doing was trying to present it as a topic.
Yeah,
like,
it was
why
like,
we might get input on both sides.
I could just see it in his eyes. It was like the grobber fart noise.
Can I throw a realistic take, though, for why I would say Detroit? If Green Bay wins, it's still going to be that weird less-than-a-game thing with a tie. If Detroit wins, Green Bay moves behind Detroit. If the Bears win and Detroit wins, it's still a game. It's not a matter of, you know, oh, the Lions are behind the Packers. It's still that farther gap from second place to first place.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't get any of that.
What?
Did you get that?
I think that versus the double tie, that was at least easier to follow than what would
it
happen
was?
In another
I mean,
tie.
I fumbled the double tie.
Because
I was trying to do it live.
Can we get
like,
Steve Kornacki in here?
We don't need him. Get the magic wall.
Point of the take is, a second place Lions team is farther behind the Bears than a second place Packers team.
Right.
Well, the Lions have the head-to-head, though.
If the Lions have the head-to-head.
So then what is the next tiebreaker? If the Lions won the first one, the Bears won the second one, is it about margin of victory?
Would 8-4 beat 7-4-1?
Yes. That's the thing. That's why I want Detroit to get a tie. Because then they could have the same number of losses, but they couldn't possibly have the same number of wins, assuming that the Bears don't get a tie between now and then. You know me? I think I'm back on top.
I mean, the
in terms of making
7-4-1, that is a different amount of games, by the way, too.
Yeah, yeah, Lions.
You need the same amount of games.
How about the tie? Tyler, you could deal with a tie, couldn't you?
Tyler does not want a tie.
Man, that feels good. Man, great legend, man.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I don't know if we got anywhere in that yesterday. Because look, it's Spiegel and Holmes and it's Gabe Ramirez in for Lawrence. I'll tell you what, though. I got a text from Bruce Levine after that segment, and he simply was screaming, winning percentage! Winning percentage! Thank you for listening, Bruce. Happy Thanksgiving to Bruce and all of our colleagues. But, like, yeah, so if a team has more ties, if they have a winning percentage is higher, it goes by winning percentage, even if they don't have the same number of wins, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was just waiting for the Twilight Zone music to kick in at some point.
Yeah, right.
None of it. I was listening to that.
None of
it
worked.
It's funny. It's funny.
Well,
great intro.
You know, look, comedy sometimes better than making sense. You know what I'm saying?
Fair enough.
Hello, everybody. Alex Kuhn is here. Baby T is here. And I had no idea that the man who christened young Tyler Ferringold Baby T is our man, Gabe Ramirez. Gabe, good to see you. Let's have some fun.
Some say that I have a creative mind, and you know, it comes out occasionally. And at in the overnight shows, when I work with Tyler Ferringold, then that's like the best creativity I can get.
We realized yesterday that Les Grobstein's perfect producer would have been Tyler Ferringold.
Without a doubt.
Like, it is a crime against sports radio humanity that Les is gone and Tyler didn't have a chance to produce him.
Could you imagine, right, or Les producing
Tyler Ferringold. Oh, wow, the tables have turned. At that point, it's possible. Here's what's going on. Coach Wanstead at the top of the hour, Wani on a Thanksgiving Wednesday, Olin Krutz at 4 o'clock. We will talk about some Bears and Eagles stuff along the way. Plenty of angles and intrigue for your conversation. I got a question about your turkey bowls at 3:25 that I think will make a lot of sense. So I want to know if you're playing football, and if so, how much you're going to protect yourself. We will play Categories, a holiday edition, at 4:25. And along the way, your phone calls and your texts, not merely welcome, but elemental to the very completion of the broadcast. You can get us at 312-644-6767 as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. A reminder that Friday, before Chicago takes on Philadelphia, tune in Friday from 11 to 2 for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin Krutz, James Big Cat Williams, and Mark Grody will be live at the Wall at 6144 West Grand Avenue in Gurney Mills Mall as they get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, they'll have instant reaction on the Great Clips post-game show presented by TimberTech, decking and railing and Aturo Tire. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. I'm thankful for an 8-3 Bears team, right?
As you should be.
Before we get to Ben and Vic, and we're going to in a way that no other show probably in town has done, but I'm thankful for an 8-3 Bears team. Aren't you, Gabe? Life is better.
Listen, I can count on my hands how many happy Mondays I had over the last couple of years. So the fact that I have eight Monday or Tuesdays this season, like that in itself, like you've been able to piece together weeks where I'm happy constantly. And the Bears had, like, this is a great feeling. It feels good. I've been light. I've been jovial. Holidays, my kids are asking me for toys. And I'm like, sure, make a list. Why not? Like, I'm in a good mood, you know? It's a far cry from where I was a couple of years ago.
Understood. And a big part of that is because Ben Johnson is a real-ass coach and a real-ass offensive coordinator and offensive visionary of sorts. And the work he's doing with Caleb Williams is great. And the work they're doing overall as a team is great. Let's hear from Vic Fangio, because this town loves Vic Fangio. And we're not the only ones. Imagine if the Eagles were playing the Niners and you're doing radio in San Francisco. And you're remembering the San Francisco defenses that Vic Fangio was in charge of during the Harbaugh and Kaepernick years. Remember how freaking good those defenses were? They were every bit as good as the Legion of Boom in Seattle. And when those two teams would play, it'd be like, this is a different level. Vic has done that everywhere he has ever been, including way back to what Dennis Allen called out yesterday, the Dome Patrol. When Vic was a linebackers coach in New Orleans in the late 80s. Yeah. Pat Swilling. Damn it. I used to remember all three of those linebackers.
Because of Tecmo Bowl?
No. Because I was just the right age. Okay. Who was the middle backer? Sam. Damn it. Come on. Look up the Dome Patrol linebackers for me, boys. Take care of me here. Damn it. It's the three of them, and I had it.
I got him.
This is what age will do to you. Sam somebody.
Ricky Jackson.
Yes.
Sam Mills. Vaughn Johnson, yes. And Pat Swilling.
Thank you. It was four of them. Ricky Jackson, Sam Mills, Vaughn Johnson, and Pat Swilling. It was a 3-4 defense, and the linebacker coach was Vic Fangio. And that's like the first thing I think of is going back to those days, and sometimes I can't even remember their names. Here's Vic Fangio, the Eagles defensive coordinator, if you don't know why we're talking about him, talking about Ben Johnson and the Bears offense. This from yesterday. This is Vic.
Vic, what does Chicago show you on offense?
A lot.
It's a great scheme. You know, they do a great job calling the game, mixing it up, marrying their run game and their pass game. You know, they're highly ranked in a lot of areas. And I don't think it's any accident. It's they got really good players, and it's a great scheme and a great play caller.
You talk about Ben Johnson and what makes him a difficult guy to prepare for.
Yeah, Ben does a good job of mixing it up. They package things well together. They play multiple personnel groups. And, you know, they're under center a good bit, you know, probably more than most teams in this league. And kudos to him and his staff for bringing that young quarterback along who I don't think ever played under center in college. And he's doing a great job, and they have fought through any of the pitfalls of that. And now they got a quarterback that is executing their offense the way they want to.
Man, that is just not stuff to sneeze at. We had it last week hearing Mike Tomlin talk about Ben Johnson and the mutual admiration. But take that from Vic Fangio, who's just watching film of this offense, including Caleb Williams, and says he's executing at a very high level. That's good stuff.
It's a lot of praise that you're getting, and Vic obviously been around the league, as you've mentioned. His resume has seen a ton, so he's prepared for a lot of different quarterbacks. And when you look at Caleb Williams, these are things that we can point to as fans with the eyeball test of what Caleb is doing differently. But it's another thing for defensive coordinators to actually respect it. Right, it's one thing for us to see it and Ben Johnson to try to implement it. It's another thing for Vic Fangio to say they're doing it well to a point where they're under center. The RPOs are working. Caleb Williams' legs is making him elusive. Like, I have to plan for him accordingly. And we hear Bill Belichick and coaches of the nature talking about teams and giving them praise. But as reporters in honor personalities, we hear this fluff and we can differentiate between true admiration and just fluff for a team that they're playing on a Sunday.
Yeah, it's true, man. Like, if you remember the Dome Patrol, then you remember Lou Holtz as the Notre Dame coach just fluffing up the opponent every freaking
Tennessee
week.
Tech is so great. It's the best team we ever played.
Wow, that's a big day. Alex Kuhn just did his Lou Holtz, and it was
good
really
one.
Good.
That's good.
That's
one.
A big day.
Gertie's upset outside of the window right now.
Tennessee Tech. Yeah, absolutely. Every freaking week, he'd be talking up whoever the hell they were playing.
Remember,
he'd like.
Man. We're Notre Dame and they ain't.
Yeah, but he lost your respect because you realize he's just shining the Johnson of any team they happen to be coming against, Gabe.
And that's what Vic Fangio is doing, shining the Johnson
no!
for the Bears. I'm saying.
Well, yes.
There you go.
He is. He's shining the Bears Johnson. That's what he's doing. Can I say that?
Yes, of course.
It's Wednesday.
It's true. No, it's true, though. You are not saying anything other than the truth right now.
I know, but so. Like. Boy, it's dangerously close to some things
sweating.
That I can't
I'm
say.
I'm sweating.
Mitch is not here. He's off. You know, it's too late to dump that. It's too late to dump it. Don't tell him to dump it.
Speaks, let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, when Vic Fangio left the Bears, there were certain people that were like, okay, man, this is tough. This guy's a good coordinator. Obviously, you know, the Eagles felt after Sean Desai, they felt it was necessary to move on to a Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, because you watch the Eagles defense, it's already full of top-tier personnel. But when Vic Fangio comes into that squad, what is he injecting into Philadelphia that maybe they might not have had?
You know, I got to tell you, I feel like as a football person, I've gotten smarter through the years. But when it comes to talking team defense, I still have stuff to learn and gather. Anthony Heron spoke about this yesterday and helped me out. And I'll answer by interpolating what he said, which is that the cohesion with which the entire unit does their job. They are completely disciplined in terms of the lanes they fill, the gaps they hit. As a group, they are dominant because they are all better together with the cohesion that they play. That's one thing. And it's the details of the way they do everything. He doesn't attack with exotic blitzes like Brian Flores does or like Dennis Allen does or even threatens to. He doesn't need to because he's also always built with the middle of the defensive line. And he's got some beasts in Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter to do that with. But we can ask your question to Dave Wanstead as part of our 3 o'clock hour. And we should, because that guy will give us a great, great answer on it as well.
Yeah. And I'd want to hear that from him.
Yeah.
You know,
that's why we talk to these people, you know, and I do know that Vic is great with the secondary and some of the stuff that got talked about yesterday with Matt Bowen on this show that, again, I love learning as we do this job. Is that you saw last week the way those deep in cuts for the Bears that they run all the time, these like 18, 20 yard in cuts. And you're like, how are they so wide open? What happens is, like Kurt Warner taught us, they use this pinch concept, or Matt Bowen called it what? Something and replace. So crease and replace or something like that.
Where the running back is going out into the flat?
Not the running back. Where the wide receiver is doing that deep in, and another wide receiver who's inside of him is taking a pattern outside. And the safety goes with that guy, and that wide receiver doing the deep in is wide open. And Bowen was saying that Vic Fangio will see how successful that's been, and he will counter that. That second safety is going to be creeping up into the middle of the field and making Caleb Williams think about that primary receiver not being as open as he's been all year.
Well, hopefully that's when Ben Johnson can counter that and say, hey, that's when you need to dump it off to DeAndre Swift if that safety is cheating up the middle, covering that seam. If Colston Loveland, Roma Dunze is not available,
yeah,
and you can't find DJ on the outs outside of the numbers, then you got to look quicker to a DeAndre Swift because that's what's going to be open, right? Those linebackers are going to be there. Safety's not going to be up.
I can't.
That's going
to
be.
I can't wait till we talk to Olin. I'm sorry, but one of those plays, the guy running the pattern in the flat for the Bears last week who was wide open was the fullback, Luke Newman. The backup guard who came into play.
Olin was like, please throw it to him.
Olin tweeted it. He's like, look how wide open Newman is. Throw the man the ball.
That's great.
So we got to make sure to ask Olin about that. It is 670 The Score. We'll hear Ben talking about Vic when we come back, headed towards Dave Wanstead, top of the hour, on The Score and Spiegel and Holmes with Gabe Ramirez sitting in.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
He's like the godfather in a lot of ways.
That's Ben Johnson talking about Vic Fangio. I didn't hear the big cut, though. The long cut. Gonna take a long cut. It's for all you deep-seated Uncle Tupelo fans listening. 670 The Score is where you are. It's Matt Spiegel and Gabe Ramirez in on a Thanksgiving Wednesday. Here's Ben Johnson from today talking about the Eagles defensive coordinator, the former Bears defensive coordinator, former Broncos head coach, and former 49ers defensive coordinator, the 67-year-old godfather himself, Vic Fangio.
He's like the godfather in a lot of ways. I mean, he's kind of taken the league over in terms of that scheme. It's been to a number of teams. You see all of his disciples run it now. We already faced one in New Orleans this year, Carolina. I mean, it's all over the place. The Rams are running it to a degree. And so, he's influenced the game significantly. And it's the shell defense. They want to limit the explosives. And I think when you have the horses up front like he does to where they can stop the run game while playing too high, I think it's a powerful combination. And so, he does a phenomenal job with it. I've never worked with Vic, but a lot of respect from afar, obviously. And then, just the people that have worked with him speak so highly of how he calls a game. And he's usually a step ahead of the opposing play caller. So it'll be a challenge here just to make sure that we're trying to keep him as off balance as we possibly can. And it really starts up front. This is a really good front seven guys. And we got to take it to them there and play on their side of the line of scrimmage.
What are the keys when preparing Caleb to face those like pre-snap disguises of a Vic Fangio defense? Like, what do you tell Caleb about those?
Yeah, it's I mean, he does a great job. It all looks the same for the most part pre-snap, and then post-snap you try to get your confirmation on what those coverages are. And so he's got to make sure he maintains discipline with his eyes, maintain discipline with what he sees post-snap. Our route runners got to be very detailed and disciplined in how they're doing things, making sure we're at the right depths and recognizing whether it's, you know, is it quarters, is it cloud, is it single high. It all changes on the snap. And when you have elements of our offense that we are reading the coverage with our routes, I think, you know, it's a challenge to make sure everything's on the same page in the passing game. I think they do a great job making it muddy. They really do. And I think that's part of the beauty behind what they do.
That is Ben Johnson talking about Vic Fangio. Within that, amidst the respect, was some more answers to your question about what Vic does really well, Gabe. He said plays this shell concept where they limit explosives and just do, you know, they're incredibly disciplined, which is a little similar to what I was saying. But he said everything looks the same. So think about the way that Ben likes to confuse defenses. He says he wants to make the same things look different and the different things look the same. That's what Vic's doing on defense to Ben and to Caleb on offense. Big, big challenge for Caleb.
Yeah, I think we're familiar with it, right? As Bears fans, having that shell cover two defense that, you know, as long as you have that pressure up front, then you can cause havoc because you got guys behind you. But as Bears fans, we've also seen that cover two shell get eaten up alive by good quarterbacks, right? And I think when you're looking at the weapons of the Chicago Bears, they're built for that, right? Zone stoppers, finding those soft spots, whether it's Kmet, Colson, Loveland in the short 10 to 15 yard range, or if it's Roma Dunze finding that middle. But I mean, it's really about the playmakers up front, right? I mean, we know they got guys, Cooper DeJean in the back end that can make a difference. But if the Bears are going to win this game, they're going to need to be able to run the ball, sustain drives, and be able to put points on the board at the end of those.
Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. I love Wildfire. We saw the injury report earlier. Kyler Gordon, a full participant in practice. Jalen Johnson, a full participant in practice. Also, Theo Benedet, a full participant, which is good to see. Otherwise, Tyreek Stevenson did not participate. Noah Sewell, TJ Edwards, Ruben Hippolyte, unlikely to play since none of them have participated. But we don't know for sure that Jalen Johnson is going to play, or do we? This is C.D. Gardner-Johnson. Today in the locker room, when he's asked about his familiarity with Jalen Johnson in case he plays and there's a shuffle in the defensive backfield.
Did you know much about Jalen?
Yeah, he's one of the best corners in the league. I just feel like now he probably get a chance to actually show that. He's been being active this week. It's a great receiving core. I'm excited for him because everybody always say, you know, what can you do against a great receiving core? And he had a chance to prove it. Everybody up and get back at him.
All right, so
Wait. I loved what he said there, but I was focusing on the people yelling in the background.
Understood. Now we're going to ask you. Go ahead, Alex.
No, I was going to say, welcome to the locker room availabilities at the end of the week.
Yeah,
fair enough.
End of the week when things are wild. But yeah, let's listen again and see if you can zone out those people in the background. Or if you heard it well the first time, then you can listen to the people in the background this time. It's up to you.
Did you know much about Jalen?
Yeah, he's one of the best corners in the league. I just feel like now he probably get a chance to actually show that. He's been being active this week. It's a great receiving core. I'm excited for him because everybody always say, you know, what can you do against a great receiving core? And he had a chance to prove it. Everybody up and get back at him.
So Jalen will be active this week. Jalen Johnson is back tomorrow. That's awesome. Alex, let's get in touch. Maybe Jalen Johnson will be back on Spiegel and Holmes on Monday.
That'd be good.
I agree.
I'd be locked in.
But anyway, again, he's been great radio every time he's done it for the last 4 years. Unbelievable. This is our fourth year of getting a chance to talk to that guy. But boy, if he's active, and I assume Tyreek Stevenson is not, so they can probably wait for a week to have that conversation about whether Nashawn Wright gets a start or Tyreek Stevenson. It's Nashawn and Jalen as your corners tomorrow. Let's go.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then Friday, obviously with Jalen, I mean, you know, coming back from the injury, you'd probably want some sort of rotation, knowing that you have those three guys available, right? They're all capable. We know Nashawn Wright is Tyreek Stevenson and Jalen Johnson. I wouldn't want to do like the Bears did at the beginning of the season where you throw him back into the fire, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's a guy that's going to go 100% no matter what. So you want to limit his reps like you would do anything else on the first game. First game.
Yeah.
But you know he wants to be playing, Speaks. This is why. He's been seeing this defense struggle for some weeks now. But he's seen the success of the Chicago Bears, and he wants to contribute
that.
He's seeing Nashawn Wright, Kevin Byard get these interceptions. He's like, I'm trying to eat as well.
Oh, well, for sure. For sure. But he also... Dude loves to play.
Yeah.
That guy came back after signing an extension and played harder, played hungrier and harder. This is not your father's Eddie Jackson or your big brother's Eddie Jackson. I'll call it flat out. Everybody knew it. Like, some people get paid and they take the foot off the gas. That is not Jalen Johnson. Yeah, we'll see if Kyler Gordon plays too. Did anybody ask CeeDee Gardner-Johnson about Kyler Gordon? They didn't ask him about that.
No, they did not.
All right. Another little bit of breaking news here. By the way, and I don't think we got to thank Wildfire again. I'll just say Wildfire is awesome. Shout out to Wildfire.
Great chicken.
Detroit Lions center Frank Ragnow is coming out of retirement. Remember he quit in the offseason?
Oh, wow.
That is one of the best centers in the NFL who has now decided here just before Thanksgiving that he wants to play football again, and he's coming out of retirement. This according to Ian Rappaport. I don't know if that means he's playing tomorrow. I mean, that would be something if he plays tomorrow against the Green Bay Packers. We'll have to see. But Frank Ragnow coming back to play, and the Detroit Lions just got a hell of a lot better.
Definitely somebody to need up the middle. But, I mean, you got to be in games. I mean, geez, a center for the Lions stepping into a situation like that, they must be in desperate need.
I'm not even sure if they are. We'll follow it up a little bit more. I don't know that they're in desperate need, but, I mean, maybe they are, and that's why they called.
And at the end of November?
Dude, all I got to say is it was awfully young for him to retire. And I get it. You've been paid a little bit and football will just eat you alive, you know? And
I'm married too. I get it.
Yeah.
I know why you took time off. It's all good. Don't worry. We can go to break. I get it.
I thought you meant he's married and he spent a few months, these past few months. He's like, you know what? I miss playing.
That too. I'm married. That too. I get it.
Gabe is married and he's got kids. It's a different thing for me to get to talk to around these parts. It's 670 The Score. It's Spiegel and Holmes. Gabe Ramirez in for Lawrence. Dave Wannstedt is next. And the Open is absolutely amazing. Make sure you're listening in 4.5 to 5 minutes on The Score.
I've been being active this week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.